You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Happy Hour 3 here on Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. Jason Smith and Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes today. And having some fun so far. We got so much stuff on our plate. Thanks to Dave Wanstead for joining us last hour, previewing the NFL season. He and Rob Parker almost came to blows after Rob's lack of belief in the Pittsburgh Steelers for this year. So, Rob, that's another city you can't go to ever again is Pittsburgh.
Yes. But, you know, look, man, I mean, I'm running out of real estate in the United States. Every time I open my mouth, I can't go somewhere.
Oh, I can't go to Green Bay. I mean, it's been that kind of summer so far, I think.
Unbelievable. Well, I think you win by not going to Green Bay, but that's another story. No.
Wow, now you can't go to Green Bay either.
No, I can't go to Green Bay. I've been to Green Bay. You know, when I worked in Detroit, you know, every year I went to Green Bay for 20 years. So I know the real estate. I know where the Kmart is. I know where everything is. Trust me.
You're like in the old Batman series when, like, Mr. Freeze was there and he would always bet you could only be in, like, a certain area. Otherwise, you'd freeze to death and you couldn't move and you had to stay in, like, this really small area because the temperature in Mr. Freeze's lair was always, like, you know, 8,000 degrees below zero. That's kind of where you are now, I think. I can only go to these places right here. If I go outside here, I can't do it. I got to stay in these places here.
It is not much wiggle room for me, but it's all right. I'm going to keep calling it like I see it. Some people will come around. I just remember last football season when everybody, and I'm going to assume you were on that bandwagon too with the Cleveland Browns, yes? Did you pick them?
Oh, no.
Okay, so you did not partake. But you know most of our brethren, they went from 1 million to 1 for the Super Bowl to 14 to 1 when they got OBJ, and everybody tried to convince me that they had everything they needed and they were going to be this dynamic offense, and I didn't buy into them. I didn't believe they'd make the playoffs, and I was right. So sometimes, you know what? You got to go against the grain.
Well, look, one of the bets I know you and I, if we get to the NBA in a second, is that, you know, betting wings that you and I have done is Tampa Bay's bet. And you say that the Patriots, the Bucks are not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be a bad year for Tom Brady. And I'm like, this is the easiest 20 wings I'm ever going to win. It's almost like the Bucks are too big to fail at this point. And I realize that, you know, that's companies have failed that way. But it's like it's too big to fail. They have too much talent. Their team is too good. This is going to be a honeymoon season where Brady is going to be so happy that he's away from Bill Belichick. It's going to be a different guy. He's different than you've ever seen before. And it's going to be – this will be the best year for Tampa Bay because Brady, this is like – he's more like Joe Montana nearing the end than he is. Here's Peyton Manning for a lease of life for 4 more years with the Denver Broncos. This is more, okay, we got another year or two at the end because his play isn't quite what it was. But this year, with all the talent that he's got there, I think the Bucks are too big to fail.
I don't buy into that. I still think he's a 43-year-old quarterback. They got Gronk, who had stopped playing football. Like, they put together the band, the old band. Shady McCoy, you know, and now they added Leonard Fournette. I get all that. And you can talk about all you want on paper. I get the paper thing. The Milwaukee Bucks on paper were supposed to get to the NBA Finals as well. All I'm just saying is the paper doesn't always hold up. And Tom Brady at 43, remember the last Super Bowl he was in? Yes, they won, but Tom Brady had no touchdowns, less than 200 yards. He didn't look that good. His last pass in New England was a pick six that sealed the deal for them, and that was his last hurrah. And last year, you can, you know, poo-poo it all you want. He did pretty well against the bad teams like most quarterbacks, and he struggled against the better teams. And all I'm saying is, he's at 43. He's not that guy, and I just think people are thinking that he's 33 and not 43, and that the Bucks, who haven't made the playoffs in 12 years, to me, it's going to be a baker's dozen this year when they don't make the playoffs. And Bruce Arians is the greatest coach since Vince Lombardi. Oh yeah, wait a minute, he hasn't had a team over 500 since 2015, 5 years ago. So you could keep talking about everything is lined up and they have everything. I'm just not there. And the division that they're in, I still like the Saints to win the division. Atlanta's there. If they get anything out of Todd Gurley, maybe that'll change some things. And I get there's an extra playoff team added, right? So there's another slot. But I'm not convinced that the rest of the team despite what they were a year ago with Jameis Winston, is going to make the playoffs. I'm not there.
Bucks are going to win 10 or 11 games. Brady will throw around 30 touchdowns, which is kind of down, but around 30. And he ain't throwing 30 picks. I mean, I know you talked about the pick six, but he ain't throwing 30 picks like Jameis did last year. Maybe
Jameis Winston
10.
Had better numbers than Tom Brady other than the interceptions. I get the interceptions.
He threw for more yards. Yeah, but 30 picks. Rob, 30 picks.
I get it.
30 touchdowns and 15 picks. This is a 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio.
I think it's easy to look at that and say, but I'm just not so sure where Tom Brady is. That's all. Is he still throwing knuckleballs? Are they handing the ball up? Like, where is he? We saw last year, you saw the ball flutter. You saw some of the throws he wasn't able to make. I think people are acting like he's 33. That's all. And he's 43. We've never seen this. This is uncharted water for a 43-year-old quarterback. Tom Brady was so great that only two teams offered him a deal. Only two teams. Tampa Bay and the Chargers. That was it. Nobody else was interested. He would be in New England if he was still that guy. There's no reason he wouldn't be there. He's not that guy.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Rob at Rob Parker FS1 in for Dan and the Danettes today here on Fox. We've got more NFL on the way later on this hour. But clearly, coming off the NBA playoff games yesterday, a bit of a left turn, I would say. Not what we expected at all. Giannis and the Bucks somehow stay in this series, although the Bucks do it without Giannis, who leaves the game in an injury in the second quarter. But they beat Miami in overtime, 118-115. Jimmy Butler said, listen, we relaxed when he left the game. We gave that game to them. Nobody's had a worse last few days as far as a superstar than Giannis has. But last night, we watched the Lakers in a must-win game tie the series with the Rockets 117-109. Now, there's both good and bad coming out of this for the Lakers and the Rockets. The good for the Lakers, Rob, is that we now see this is their blueprint to win games. If they're at this point where the teams are deeper and better in the playoffs, it's a dominant game by LeBron and AD, which you have to have every week, and you got to have the bench come through. You need your supporting cast to give you something, and yesterday they had three players come through off the bench and play terrific. Morris and Kuzma and Rondo. Rondo was terrific. The Rockets didn't even guard him. He was that guy in the pickup game where you say, yeah, okay, just, you know, whatever. He's not going to shoot. Just let him. Just guard the other guys. And Rondo made some shots, and the Lakers were able to win this game. This is their blueprint now for the rest of the way. All the teams are flawed, but this is the Laker blueprint. I'm still not buying the Lakers as much because of how flawed they are, and they need this every single night because the teams are better and they are deeper. You know, I picked the Rockets to go to the NBA Finals before the playoffs. I picked the Heat as well, just to let you know. I want to remind you of that.
Thanks for reminding me. My alarm just went off on my iPhone telling me that you did pick the Heat. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I want to make sure because this could be as good as it gets for me. So I want to, you know, remind you that was my pick. But still, the Rockets, they almost come back and win this game. And despite the fact they had a bad game and Russell Westbrook had a bad game, it's good for the Lakers and it's great for them to win because this gives them a little bit of a foundation to say, okay, now we know exactly what we need and maybe Kuzma can do this every single night. But to sit here and say, okay, Kuzma and Morris are going to shoot 12 for 15 from the floor and they're going to be 5 out of 6 from three-point range, you can't count on that. So the jury's still out for me on the Lakers for this playoffs.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue. And that's why I think a lot of people, even when you look at it and you jump forward and say that they do knock off the Rockets and the Clippers knock off the Nuggets, it's the reason people look and give the Clippers the edge is because of their bench and because of their 10 deep and because of the production you could get. And there's four guys who can close the game for you, Jason. You know, it's not just one guy. And yes, they lost on Saturday and they fell into a big hole and they stormed back. And Kawhi had an absolute horrendous game, which he was due. He was playing really well. I think he was the first player since Michael Jordan in 1988 who had scored 29 or more points through the first 7 playoff games, right? And that goes back to 1988. Nobody had done that since Jordan. So a stinker was in line, and it was there, and it happened. But I just think that when you look at the Lakers, the problem is they're inconsistent. The bench is inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a top-heavy team, and you like the top, right? You can't go wrong with LeBron and AD. I get that. But what Kuzma's going to show up? You know, Rondo was good. This was good Rondo. Will we get bad Rondo in Game 3? You don't know. And that's the part that makes the Lakers questionable when you talk about them winning a championship. It's just their team is not set enough.
And for the Rockets, it's come down to the fact that, okay, Russell Westbrook has gone from he's going to be the guy. Like, he's the one to bring the Rockets the championship. And he's a liability for them. Because clearly the Rockets are good enough to win without him. They've shown that. Oh, look, the way they played in the first round without him, then he comes back. They got to reincorporate him back into the offense. And the fact that he still wants to be ball dominant and still take bad shots when he's never been a great shot maker. The Rockets need a basketball intervention on him to say, listen, Russ, we have a lot of guys can make shots, including, oh, by the way, one of the top three players in the game in James Harden. Okay, yesterday you had more shots than James Harden. That's not going to work. And you need to be someone who is not as ball dominant because you make mistakes, you turn the ball over, and you can't make jumpers. If you could make jumpers, great. I get it. You could take those shots. But because he's so ball dominant and he makes these bad decisions, there's no way out of it if you're the Rockets. It's like they're still allowing him to do his own thing and control the ball way too much. And the Rockets have to say, you have to adjust and stop taking these shots and distribute the ball a little bit more. Because if not, we're going to cut your minutes. Because you're not helping the team right now. Even Westbrook said, I'm just running around right now. So he kind of seems like he's lost. You would think this would be a time where he could take a step back and say, okay, less of Westbrook is a better thing. Because the Rockets have to do something. Because they're sitting around right now going, hey, everybody's ripe. Everybody's got flaws right now in the playoffs. The Lakers are top heavy. The Clippers are still trying to figure themselves out because they haven't had their whole team yet. And they look a little bit more vulnerable than we thought they would be. Forget about the teams in the East, but they, look, the Bucks clearly are one step away from being out of the playoffs. This could be our year, and Westbrook's the guy that's holding them back. Look, they almost come all the way back yesterday and almost win the game, but Westbrook was just a dagger in their hopes yesterday.
Good luck on trying to sit down and have a conversation with him and ask him to adjust. You'd have a better chance getting Carrot Top to change the color of his hair. It ain't happening, Jason. It ain't happening.
I like that that's where you went to. Who's a Carrot Top changing the color of his hair?
I'm just like, what? Like, really? Like, when you traded for him, you knew what you were getting. Like, you knew what you were getting. And I understand. Boy, it would have made sense. Hey, stop chucking up the threes. You know, yesterday they're not going down. The Rockets came all the way back. They were down 21. They could have been buried. It could have been a 40-point loss. Instead, they come back. They erase the 21 points. They go up by five, and then, you know, the bad shots come, and can't make any buckets. But you can. James Harden only gets 13 shots. How? That should be 13 shots in the first quarter, let alone the entire game. And when you put all that together, you just say he is what he is. You just hope that he will go back to going to the rim where he's more effective. That's it. And just say that's what you should be doing more so than standing on a perimeter shooting three-pointers that aren't going in. And if they can get any decent play from him, they can win some games. I don't think they're going to win the series. I picked the Lakers in six. The Rockets just don't have enough. And if Anthony Davis plays like he played and they get any kind of support off the bench, it's going to be a six-game series. And the Rockets will give it a good go and a good shot. But they're not going to beat the Lakers. The Lakers can beat themselves. But the Rockets can't beat the Lakers if the Lakers play the way they're capable.
See, I look at it differently. I look at it that this is who the Lakers are. There's no next level. There's no way for the Lakers to improve because it's not like the Clippers who, as the playoffs go on, they're going to get more and more dangerous. Because the thing with the Clippers has been, well, for 11 months now, we've waited for them to have their whole team and they finally got it and they're getting used to each other. And the more they get used to each other and they get used to a way of doing things, hey, because they're so deep, well, they'll get more dangerous as the playoffs go on. But this is kind of who the Lakers are. They don't have another level. It's AD and LeBron have to play great. Okay, well, we know that. And we got to get stuff from the bench. Do you get it all the time? No. Does anybody look like they're becoming a player who can contribute every single game? No. Kyle Kuzma is still, he's like Lamar Odom. He's an every other game kind of guy. And are you going to count on Rajon Rondo to be plus 28 like he was yesterday? No, it's still the inconsistency that I see the ceiling for the Lakers. And is you know, the way they win is if other teams just can't play to their potential. Because there's nowhere I can see the Lakers say, boy, they're playing great now, but by the time they get to the end of the play, boy, they're going to be great and a machine. I don't see that. I don't see the support players coming in and playing that kind of role, which is what you need. Which is why teams like the Heat, who I picked to go to the finals, by the way, the deeper teams.
Yeah, I know you're still hoping and wishing and praying that your Rockets Heat pick materializes. You still believe in that? Are you still on that pick?
Of course I am.
Okay.
I have to look. I got to say, I wasn't so thrilled about the Rockets after the first round. But then I realized, you know what? If the Heat make it to the finals, I can just drop the Rockets. People will forget that, and I'll just mention that I picked the Heat to get to the finals, and that'll be what everybody focuses on. So I can.
And then when the Heat gets knocked out, you'll say, "Well, originally when the season started, I picked the Clippers, of course, to win the championship."
Oh, exactly. It worked because that's what I did. You know, look,
right? I know you did.
A good radio host, you know, Rob, you know, moves around and understands that it's a moving canvas and things change. And what you pick the beginning of the year with COVID, things changed differently. You're just working around a bit.
I got it. You're trying to stay. You got to give yourself a couple of hooks so that you can grab onto one of them when one of your prediction goes the other way. I get it. I picked the Clippers when they signed Kawhi and they signed Paul, and they got Paul George. I said that right then and there during the free agency, and the Nets got Durant and Kyrie. I said the Clippers will win in 2020, and the Nets will win in 2021. Those were my predictions, and I'm
and the Knicks will,
right
and the Knicks will win when? What are you
in,
about the Knicks?
40-41. 40-41.
In one of those movies where they travel like hundreds of years into the future. Boy, the Knicks are great.
That's
boy,
right, because they'll be playing. It'll be like the Knicks will be playing in the Rollerball arena. Do you remember Rollerball?
Oh, sure.
That movie.
The James Caan one or the remake with Chris Klein?
No, James Caan, the original.
Oh, okay, the original. Right. That's right. Well, you know, yeah, you know who won that one? Who won that Rollerball, remember? Houston. There you go.
Did Houston? Boom. I had no idea.
Houston beat New York. Sorry, spoiler alert. That comes all the way back to my Rockets pick. No, look, just the Rockets, this is the year for them. For them with the new small ball philosophy to cause fits until teams can get used to it. I mean, you see it in the NFL all the time where, okay, here's a year, like last year, Ryan Tannehill was terrific with the Titans. This year, the Titans are going to get figured out. Is Lamar Jackson going to come back to the pack a little bit? Yes, because NFL teams after a year are going to figure it out. After a little while, NBA teams would figure out the Rockets small ball lineup and be able to expose it. But this, where they haven't had a chance to yet and see it over and see different teams combat them different ways, this is the Rockets' year to do it. And I think of the fact yesterday they almost came back down 20 in a game the Lakers should have won by 30, and they still made it a game, and the Lakers had to pull away in the fourth quarter. I'm still feeling the Rockets I'm feeling good about them in this series. Feeling good.
1-1 is where they should be, but good luck with your pick.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Rob at Rob Parker FS1, Jason Smith, Rob in for Dan and the Danettes today. Coming up next, what does Ryan Hollins have to say? Our friend here at Fox Sports 1, former 10-year NBA vet, stops by. What about Giannis? Is he still the guy in Milwaukee? That's coming up next. Keep it right here. This is Fox.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes today. Hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day. Just the beginning of a long day for Rob Parker, who is leaving here. He's going to go do his own radio show later on today. You're doing everything today, Rob.
I got papers to grade. We don't have class today, but I got papers to grade. It's a busy Monday, but it's all good to start the morning here on the Dan Patrick Show with you, Jason. We always have fun when we get together and fill in for Dan Patrick.
Now, when you give, when you grade papers, you're a professor at USC, do you give letter grades or number grades?
Letter grades.
Oh, because I think, you know, being a sports guy, you could give, say, we're going to do number grades, and instead of putting a number on top of everybody's paper, you put a player's name, and they got to look up and see what their jersey number is, and that's their grade.
And that's their grade. Oh,
yeah,
there
and
that, we go.
That's they wind up getting. It's like, ooh, okay, this is going to be pretty good.
I could put down and say, this is your war, you know what I mean? And then they'd have to figure out exactly where they, you know, how what it means. People are still, I know people like to use war, but most people don't know. Like, is that a good number or is that a bad number, you know? It's like Celsius, you know?
Yeah.
That's what war is. It's like Celsius.
If we took you out of
this
class.
36 degrees out. Oh, wow. 36, is that good or bad? Is it a good day out or is it too cold?
Your value over replacement student, your war is real. If we took you out and put somebody else in here, if you have a negative war, that means anybody we put in here would be a better student than you. So you want to make sure you have a positive war.
That would be it.
Student, see, you just say that, you hit on something there. Student war rankings. You know, who's the Bryce Harper of your war rankings, and who's your Jacob deGrom of your war rankings? Who's your Bellinger of war rankings, and who's at the top and who's at the bottom? I kind of like that. I dig that.
That war, I'd come up with that. I might have to, you know, figure that out, and maybe we can implement that at USC.
We got Ryan Hollins coming up in a couple minutes to talk NBA with us, and we talked Rockets and Lakers a few minutes ago. And, Rob, you know, the other part of this is we watched yesterday, you know, look, the Lakers tied the series with the Rockets. It looks like it's going to be a long series. In fact, I would expect it to go seven at this point.
You think it's going to go seven, huh?
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Well, because look, there's no home court you have to worry about, and there's no real advantage from one game to the next outside of the momentum you have of winning that game and stuff. You don't have to worry about going home, and the Laker bench will play better at home in Staples than they will on the road. And the
that
Rockets
is definitely different in the playoffs here. There's no doubt about it. I'll give you that, because normally it makes a big difference. The people off the bench usually play better at home. They're more comfortable.
Yeah, look, there's a reason why you play for home court advantage. You know, you want the whistles because you want to get to the free throw line more at home than you do on the road. And these built-in things are kind of gone in the playoffs now. There's no that's why finishing first, it doesn't really matter. The big advantages are out the window, and that's the whistles you get at home and your bench playing better at home. So we're seeing longer playoffs than I think we expected to see, and maybe because we didn't count in as much the fact that, look, so-and-so is so much better than another team, and you see so many first-round sweeps because, hey, these first two games are out, and an 8 seed is saying, what happened to us? We just went into Staples Center and got obliterated, so now we're down 2-0, and the series is over. Whereas instead, it's like, wait, we don't have to worry about playing and playing the referees and playing against hey, we can go out there and play pretty well. And I think what you're seeing is the gap between the top seeds and the bottom seeds on a neutral site isn't nearly as great as we thought it is. Oh, boy, well, this 8 seed's never going to win. Yeah, when you're talking about not having home court advantage, having to go on the road and winning games and having to win on the other team's court, that's a big advantage, and we're not seeing that now. So it's kind of like it's a big social experiment where it's, okay, hey, what would happen if you took home court advantage out of the playoffs? Well, we're seeing it right now. This is kind of how it would go. It's tougher for the top seeds because there's no home court. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Rob at Rob Parker, FS1, joining us now on the hotline. Our teammate here at FS1 at 10 years in the NBA. You can see him everywhere. Fox Sports 1, he's all over the place on ESPN2. Ryan Hollins, what's happening, Ryan?
What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas?
Dude, let me bring you into what we're talking about here for a second, in that what we're seeing is this big social experiment that home court advantage, it means so much more than we even thought it was coming into the playoffs now, because lower seeds are able to take on the higher seeds and stay in games with them. Are you seeing that's a different thing, and maybe the gap between the top and the lower seeds isn't as great as we think it is?
Man, I could have told you that. There's a reason that the Miami Heat are getting ready to knock off the Milwaukee Bucks. They've got them down 3-1 in a hopeless situation. We've never seen it happen in the history of basketball. And why the Toronto Raptors, the 2 seed, were literally a miracle shot from OG Anunoby that comes inches away from being blocked from going down 3-0. So The home court advantage is real. Both 1-8 seeds also lost. The Lakers lost that first game. Milwaukee lost the first game, as we know, as it stated. But in the first game, when you have the upper seed, it's a close game, and then your fans carry you in the fourth quarters. That's common. We always say, hey, man, keep this thing close. Fans will carry us. Let's turn it on. Hey, it's time to turn the switch on. Well, with no fans, no home court, no friends and family in the building, there's nothing to turn on. I was talking with Brendan Haywood a little earlier, and he disagreed, fellas, but I think he's going to have to eat, gonna have to eat some humble pie, okay? I said, whoever wins this COVID championship, it's almost going to count for double because the circumstances these guys had to go to, they're fighting their own demons stuck in their room, not able to leave the bubble and go outside. Family is, you know how it is with family. Let's be honest. Family is tough when they're away, and family is tough when they're there sometimes, okay? It's the gift and the curse. So that's just the reality of what these guys have to deal with, and then you got no home, no fans. So in my mind, mark my words, whoever wins this COVID championship, Jay, as you'd like to say, the Mickey Mouse championship is going to count for double.
That's what I call it.
you, Rob, my bad, Rob. Only you, Rob, would put that type of taste on it. So prestigious as the NBA championship with Mickey Mouse on.
Well, but they're playing it in Orlando at Mickey's spot, at Mickey's crib. So what do you want me to say?
Oh, my gosh. No, that's not why you're saying it, Rob. That's why.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
But help me, Ryan, with Westbrook. Just a really bad game. What do the Rockets do from here with him? Do they have to convince him to stay off the perimeter, shooting threes, to attack the basket, which he's so great at? What do they need from him? Because obviously he played better in game one. They won game one, but he was really bad last night.
Well, you got to put him in more dynamic situations. What I mean by that, Russell Westbrook catches the ball on the perimeter, and his game plan is to drive to the hole. The Lakers are arguably the best shot blocking team and longest team in the NBA from that standpoint. So what they did, the Lakers did game one, and which didn't work, is they waited in the paint. Obviously, their offense was better in game two, but they sat in the paint and they said, we're going to take away all layups. You're going to have to beat us from the perimeter. Well, guess what? Houston beat them for the perimeter. James Harden beat them for the perimeter. So in game two, they played the same game plan on Russell Westbrook, except what they do, they went and trapped James Harden. And when Russell Westbrook gets the ball, whenever you trap, guys, remember this, NBA note, whenever you trap off of a non-shooter, you recover back to the paint because you know he's not going to take a shot. So that Russ is not knocking down open shots, which I know he can. He's capable of. I've seen the kid since college, man. I watched him grow. He can hit an open shot. He's not doing it. Heck, even if it's a 17 or 18-footer, I don't mind that at this point from Russ, but driving in against those trees is just not working because that's Mike D'Antoni's game plan. He is their paint presence, and he gets it with the drive. And now that LeBron James is on him and guys that are just as athletic, he's not able to get that drive. So you got to put him in pick and rolls. You got to let him set the screen. You got to run him off some down screens. You have to put him in different situations that's not so darn easy to guard.
Ryan Hollins, our guest, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes. All right, now let's get to Giannis here for a second, because I don't know if there's any star in the NBA that's had a bad worse last week than Giannis. He went from, hey, we're dispatching Orlando in round one, we're on our way to this finals, and now here they are. They finally get a win yesterday, and they do it when? Without Giannis, who leaves the game in the second quarter with an injury. Is this postseason salvageable for him to either get his reputation back or win a couple of more games? Because he's suddenly gone from, look this guy, he's the MVP, to, boy, in the playoffs, he can't elevate the guys around him.
Let's back up this. Let's back it all the way up. Last year, Rob Parker, who wants to have all these arguments with me, and I try to tell you guys, I love Giannis. He's a heck of a player, but he's not going to get it done within the postseason the way that he plays. My Twitter mentions, I was getting ravaged. I was harassed. I mean, I couldn't say or do anything without somebody going on. And when I said that Giannis was overrated, it didn't mean he was a bad player. It just meant he's not on the echelon that you guys are putting him on. Okay, he's not on the LeBron James, the Kevin Durant. He's not in that territory yet because he's going to be ineffective in the playoffs. And those guys, LeBron James is not LeBron James from regular season LeBron James. he's LeBron James because of the postseason. Giannis just wasn't equipped to do that. Is he a heck of a player? Yes. Can you put pieces around him and he'd be a big, big piece of a championship? Heck yeah. But right now, his game is not equipped to do it. And in our reality, what we saw yesterday is that even though they've been using Middleton wrong, they need to be featuring Chris Middleton and let Giannis play off the basketball. And heck, that team looks like it could be head and shoulders better than the Miami Heat. And obviously, the hardest thing that anybody knows, so let's keep it in context, is to eliminate a team out of the playoffs because they have this, this wild type of vigor, this type of strength, this type of passion and push to stay in the game. Kevin Garnett taught me that. Kid you not. The hardest thing. I don't care who it is on the other side. The hardest thing to do is to eliminate a team and get them to go on 1-2-3 Cancun in the huddles. Man, that is tough to do. So that's what you saw from Milwaukee. But hey, they may have bad more success, and I'm going to repeat it one more time, guys, because Rob, Jason, especially you, Rob, I need you to digest this. Don't make those faces in the studio.
My face is already twerking.
No. They need to play through Chris Middleton and let Giannis be the cleanup guy, the screen setter, and they will have more success. And they probably should have been doing
more success than going to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, more success. And here's my only thing, and I hear what you're saying. I don't believe that that's going to happen, that the Bucks are going to turn the team over to Middleton no matter how well he's played, and I get that, but that's not going to happen. But my question to you, Ryan, is Michael Jordan didn't have immediate success. Giannis is young. It's not like he's set. And he has all of his moves, and he knows how to play, and he's a 10-12 year vet. He's a young player still. LeBron didn't win right out of the gate as well. He also had to make adjustments as you go along. You're telling me that Giannis can't make adjustments, can't get a move in the paint, can't come up with some sort of signature a basket that he needs, you know, when they need it in the paint. At some point, that can't happen.
Did you just fix your lips to compare Giannis to Michael Jordan and LeBron James?
I'm just talking about them as young players. This guy's going to have two back-to-back MVPs. Don't act like he's not a talent. He's going to win two MVPs back-to-back.
We're not going to do that, Rob. He's a heck of a player, but we're not going to do that.
He ain't no heck of a player. He's going to be a two-time MVP. Give more respect than that.
No. He's getting the proper respect. He's a heck of a player. He's a hard worker. Do not compare him to LeBron. I do not have a stat sheet or Michael Jordan, these guys right in front of my face. I'm not going to say this kid can't improve. He can't get better. But who I'm going to compare him to more so, he's not Kobe, he's Shaq. And you just compared him to the Kobe's, to the LeBron's. Rob Parker, have you lost your marbles? He's more like Shaq. And listen, there is no disrespect to Shaquille O'Neal. None. But Shaq needed a Wade. He needed a Kobe. He needed a dynamic wing, okay? Giannis needs a dynamic wing. That doesn't mean he's any more or less than a player. But do not ever compare him to Michael LeBron.
My point is when
I don't want to hear it.
My point is that those guys, when they were young, struggled too. It wasn't automatic success in the postseason.
LeBron was in the NBA Finals.
He got swept in the NBA Finals.
They didn't lose it.
They also lost. They also lost to Orlando and Turkoglu. You remember that?
No, man. No. Listen, and they went to the finals. So listen. Michael Jordan was losing to Larry Bird, for God's sake. Okay, that wasn't any type of whipping. That was Larry Bird. And I get it. Those guys had to improve. Giannis, the one thing I do love from him, Rob. Every single year, this kid has improved. He is the model of hard work and consistency and grit and grind. He's a throwback. I love him, but he needs help, and he is not a 1A Hall of Fame superstar like Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kobe. Stop it. He's really good. He's really good, but that's not what he is. So you're going to have to compare him. If you compared him to Durant or O'Neal or – don't even want to say Garnett. I can't even say Garnett. I'm going to
Patrick Ewing. Garnett.
You can, Patrick Ewing. I'm fine with that, Rob Parker. Don't you talk about Michael Jordan. They think I don't like Michael Jordan. I love Michael Jordan.
You know what? My problem is this. People want to paint this talent in a box this early in his career and say he can't get it done or he can't do that.
How old is he, Rob?
I covered the NBA since 1987.
How old is he, Rob?
What is he, 25?
Listen, here's the truth. He's got to be older than 25. You made the kid younger. Is he 19? Like, oh, come on, Rob Parker.
No, but he doesn't have years in the league.
His playing style, I don't want to say it is what it is, but you kind of refined what you are. That's what
you know how old he is? He's 25 years old. Yes,
no,
I'm
okay,
right.
Okay,
25.
My bad, Rob. Okay. You kind of refined what you are. So the one thing you can see from Giannis, you want to be realistic because I'm going to come with you. I'm not with the comparison, but I'm going to come with you. When you look at Giannis, you can say that he can maybe get a little better of a post game. He can get a fadeaway. He can get a mid-range jumper. He can get a step back maybe. But when you looked at LeBron, Durant, Kobe, those guys, they were already making moves from the perimeter that would translate into, hey, if he polishes what he is, he could be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball player of all time, and he would have playoff success. Giannis, it's going to be really hard for him to change all of what he – like, for me to make him into a shooter wouldn't be natural. Wouldn't be natural. Now, can he improve? Has he improved? Yeah, he's improved, undoubtedly. But it's there's only so many fixes and tinkers that you can do in this. And for him, man, guys are getting the report. They're not just backing up. They're challenging his dribble, and they're running and jumping at him from the perimeter. And now what's happening, Rob? He's beating the stuffing out of himself, and now he could even play in game three. Lord knows how. I think his ankle's been twisted since darn near last year. He had ankle problems last playoffs, Rob, if you forgot. So now he's playing at this hellish pace that he may not be able to keep up.
You can follow him on Twitter at the Ryan Hollins. That is at the Ryan Hollins. Also, the Octagon this weekend. Ryan Hollins and Rob Parker will go at it at the Pechanga Hotel.
We will go at it. We will continue this conversation with Ryan.
How do you do this early in the morning, Rob?
You know, that's why I'm divorced.
Oh, what is the sound effect?
Rob's wife is done waking up going, I don't want to do a hot take at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yes. No, give me a hot. I don't want to do hot takes at 7 in the morning.
A hot take and a hot breakfast, all right? Both. I need both in the morning.
Take it easy, big dog. We'll talk to you soon. Happy Labor Day, man.
You guys sound great, man.
Great stuff there from Ryan Hollins. Yeah, no, I can see that. Right? Listen, I'm done. I don't want to have. But listen, Brady's not the greatest. I'm leaving. I'm walking out the door.
I'm out.
I'm done. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Rob at Rob Parker FS1. Hey, coming up next, two big NFL stories that broke this morning. We'll get into those with you coming up next, Fox.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Happy Labor Day. Jason Smith, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes today. And you know, normally Labor Day is a day where it's a big Major League Baseball day. Look, we're breaking down what's going on with college football.
I'll be watching baseball today.
It's a different kind of day, right? I mean, look, baseball ends 3 weeks from today. You know, I feel like, you know, there's no way to get a grasp on the baseball season outside of knowing the Dodgers are great because we've only been playing for a month and now it's over in 3 weeks.
Right.
Who knows who's going to be
amazing.
Any good.
Amazing.
But we do have a couple of big NFL stories to get to here in the next couple of minutes. Number one, the Miami Dolphins this morning made it official. Ryan Fitzpatrick is their quarterback to start the season. I get it. There's not been a games to evaluate Tua Tagovailoa. You want to be able to make sure that you give him the biggest chance to succeed, and out of the gate, some of the defense the Dolphins are playing are not going to be conducive to success for Tua. It's the Patriots out of the gate. It's San Francisco. It's Seattle. It's Buffalo. It's Denver. He'll play, but not till later. Rob, I know you think this is the wrong call for them to make.
Yeah, I just say put the kid in. Let's see what you got. You win your spot in practice in the NFL, and they've watched him. It's not like they haven't practiced whatsoever. He also has a pretty damn impressive resume tape that everybody's known. You wouldn't have drafted him if you didn't think the kid can play prior to even watching him in practice. And Fitzpatrick, to me, is a waste of snaps. He just is. We know what he is. You're not going anywhere with him. Maybe home dinner and a show. That's about it. But you're not winning anything with Fitzpatrick. So why waste any snaps? We saw Kyler Murray last year with Arizona. They didn't have a great team. People were like, oh, I don't know if you want to put him out there or whatever. He went out there. He played, you know, and he got experience. And now year two, people are looking for big things from him, right? Because he got a chance to get out there from day one, played all 16 games, and that's what I think they should do with Tua.
Now, the other news is we have Cam Newton, who did a radio interview this morning earlier in Boston on WEEI, and said that right now, hey, it's a match made in heaven with the Patriots. He's so excited to be here. Everything is great. He's a captain. Okay, well, first of all, I mean, was there any way once camp started he wasn't going to win the job? I mean, of course, Jarrett Stidham was terrible, so which tells you that all the columns in the offseason that were written, oh, Jarrett Stidham's the guy. If you're going to doubt Bill Belichick, you're stupid.
Right.
Yeah, obviously Jarrett Stidham was terrible, and it was just a PR job. But I can't buy that suddenly, just because Cam is with the Patriots, Rob, he's going to be great again. He hasn't been great in a while. He also hasn't been healthy. And, you know, just because I see highlights on Twitter and people are saying, oh, if this is the Cam Newton the Patriots are going to get, this is going to be tough news for everybody else. That's a highlight from 2013. I can't buy that suddenly, just because he's there, he's going to be great when his body's been breaking down the past couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think he's young enough. He's not an old guy. He's been hurt the last couple of years. I'm expecting big things. I expect him to have a good season. The only thing I don't know, I know they lost a number of players who opted out of playing with the COVID-19, like six players or three starters. So I don't know how that's going to affect them. But I expect Cam to do well, and another team to give him an opportunity next year.
So there it is. You can check out Rob Parker later on today on The Odd Couple doing double duty. My show is heard nights here on Fox Sports Radio. What are you doing, Rob, between now and doing your radio show again? You taking a nap or what?
I'm going to take a nap, boil some hot dogs, and then I'll be good. Hot dogs with no buns today, but they'll be good.
Fox Sports Radio, The Herd's up next. Jason and Rob.